Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Irina Kay for the Divas That Care Network, your relationship mentor. And I have with me a power couple, Dr. Elizabeth Moit and her husband, Freddie Zintal Weaver, that I am really honored to be able to call my friends. These people are absolutely amazing. Elspeth and Freddie are beloveds, life and business partners residing in Chicago. They have assisted thousands of couples and singles creating lasting intimacy and fulfillment in their relationships. They are featured on Showtime's documentary series, Sexual Healing, and the Emmy Award-winning NBC show, Starting Over. They are best-selling authors of Sexual Enlightenment, endorsed by world-renowned spiritual pioneer Dr. Michael Beckwith. Elspeth and Freddie have coached billionaires, innovators, and power couples all over the world, shared their intimacy secrets at a global YPO, which is a young president's organization, conference in the City of Love, Paris, and got nominated as changemakers at the White House-sponsored 2016 United States of Women's Summit in Washington, D.C. They regularly present at premier retreat locations such as the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health and the Esalen Institute. They are also the co-founders of the Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago, where they help singles and couples get intimacy and love into their relationship. I am so happy and so thrilled to have you with me here today. So thank you very much, Elspeth and Freddie.
Oh, thank you so much, Irina. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. Great to be here.
This is wonderful. Now, I think just we should get something clear to our listeners here. When people hear about Tantra and Tantric love or sex, they just think maybe some weird practices or Kama Sutra or something. Would you please elaborate a bit more about what is this actually? What is tantric intimacy or tantric love?
Sure. So we're Tantra Nova, Tantra New, and there are many variations of Tantra. What we've done is we've taken the yoga of Tantra, which it was one of the original yogas of the energetic body. And if you look at science, it's all energy. We're just a denser form of it in our physical.
Right.
But the emotional piece, the spiritual, the experiential piece, and all of that plays a part in how we experience and move in our life. So, and we've also integrated it with the Western approaches to transformation in terms of the psychological piece of language, generative language, how we create our reality in language, how we discover ourselves in the creative process in music, movement, and art. And we've culminated that into our own curriculum, which we have written about in our book, best-selling book, Sexual Enlightenment. And we have been doing in our seminars all over the world for the last 18 years with thousands of couples and singles, as you mentioned earlier. So what really the work is about is transforming a lot of the stuff that is stuck for us in our life, like I want a relationship, or I want to stop arguing with my wife, or I feel bored in my relationship, or I want a relationship, or work that's inspiring, or a place that I love being in, things that we want to create in our life. So the transformation to creating them. And there's pieces that we don't see about why we keep giving ourselves what we're getting when we get to that we are responsible for everything in our life. So what we do with all of the integration of everything that's unique in the transformational process as Tantra Nova is we're working consciously with sexual energy. In addition to all the other things we do in our three-day workshops, part of the work is learning how to work with your sexual energy in a way that opens something up that we don't normally see. As an instance, when we're in our sexual energy, whether you're doing our work or not, we're more open, loving, vulnerable, receptive. Chemically, we're changed. Oxytocin is released, endorphins, serotonin. So coupled with the distinctions that we teach in terms of the belly breath, how to breathe consciously, and we can talk more about that later, becoming what we call the witness or the observer of the thoughts and conversations that shape our opinions and thoughts and meaning in life, coupled with an awareness of energy, and the fourth most important piece, an intention, like the thing that I want to shift. What happens in the sexual energetic is we get more intimately, vulnerably exposed to that piece we don't see. And that's where the work is unique in terms of working consciously with sexual energy, and that's where we are as Tantra Nova. And that's kind of a long elevator conversation, but I just wanted to get all that out at the beginning so we can go from there
Yes, I'm sure you can, and I'm sure you will have done this so many times that it just flows easily. I was just wondering, Elspeth, why are you, I mean, how did you get to become the Tantra Nova co-founder? Mm-hmm. Was that always an interest of yours, these, especially working with the sexual energy versus another kind of energy?
Actually, no, not in a conscious way. I grew up in Germany, and I know you grew up in Switzerland.
That's
so we
right.
are sisters here in some ways. So I do remember when I was a teenage girl, all things sexual were very, I was very curious about it and explored in a way that, you know, was not to my likings of my parents. But so that is has been definitely there for, you know, for many years. However, you know, that is just an experience as we grow into it. I didn't come to Tantra, unlike Freddie, who got introduced to the tantric practice when he was a teenager. I really delved into the tantric practice in my late 40s when I was just very despaired about relationship. I had come to the United States in my late 20s to do postgraduate work in music, went on to get my doctorate in education, and then moved into management consulting and really worked all over the world for 10 years in the 90s. And there came a time when I had gotten really good at the consulting, but was miserable at relationship, because I had this pattern of attracting unavailable men. And while that was exciting at times, you know, most of the time I was alone. And there came a moment when I just didn't want to live like that anymore. And I also knew, in order to shift the pattern, I needed new input. I needed to go to places I hadn't gone before, so that I could see what my blind spot was. And the meditation and the tantric practice were the places I went to, and then, you know, worked with coaches and teachers. And the tantric work was so healing for me. What I discovered was that I had held distrust towards men. I mean, no surprise, you know, attracting unavailability. There must be something underneath. But I felt like they were not available. I was so available, but I had fooled myself. The thing was that I was not available. And so what came up in my healing work was, given that the tantric practice really involves the whole human being, Freddie alluded to it a little earlier, the physical, sexual, the emotional love, and the mental and spiritual self. And while I had done a lot of work on my mental intellectual self and quite a bit of work on my emotional self, I had not gone to my sexual self as an access to seeing something about myself. Now, I didn't come to Tantra to have better orgasms. I already had good orgasms. It was something
good for
that,
you.
but that was it. It was in the search for clearing what was in the way that didn't allow me to have lasting intimacy and love in my life. That was really what drove me. And so what came up, there's a very particular healing ritual that we also teach and that I experienced. And what showed up in that ritual for me was, like, very vividly the experience of when I was 18 years old. I had a boyfriend at that time, my first love, like between 16 and 18 years old. It was just like pure bliss. And then he asked me to have intercourse when we were 18. And I was not really ready for it, but I said yes anyway. And it was incredibly painful. I had to go to the gynecologist. The bill from the gynecologist went to my house. My dad opened it, and all hell broke loose. And that was a time when I felt so alone, so not understood, And when I withdrew into myself, mm-hmm. so I armored myself, you know, figuratively yeah. speaking, because it was very painful. Because shortly after that whole intercourse scene, the boyfriend left.
Yeah. 2 years, huh?
Yeah. And given that this relationship was really my refuge, when he was gone, there was nothing because I didn't share. I mean, my parents knew about the relationship, but I didn't share him with, you know, in my family. And so in my aloneness, in my despair, in my pain, I, you know, had this, made this decision, this nanosecond decision of that men are never there for you when you really need them. And that was the interpretation, the decision that left, lived in the background then throughout my adult years, me not knowing about it. So no wonder that I attracted an availability, you right. know, because how could I trust unless I was going to work through that? So through that beautiful healing, what opened up was deeper trust in myself first, mm-hmm. because that often goes first as well, because why did I let it happen? Why didn't I say anything? You know, like as if it was my fault. And then deeper trust in men in general. And then 6 months later, my beloved Freddie came into my life. And I, you know, without that clearing, I don't think I would have seen him. You know, like he was not the typical guy that, anyway, clearings of that kind can open up new vistas that were never available to us before. So, and then I already had actually decided shortly before I met Freddie, after I got certified as a Tantra teacher, that I was going to leave the consulting work and assist other women and men and couples, you know, in their transformation around their sexual, intimate, and bliss self. And then you really want to hear how Freddie came to, you know, because this is like to hear for men also, and not only for men, for women, what's possible, how a man can open and transform. For me, it's very meaningful. So, darling, would you share how you came?
I would love to hear that, because especially such a masculine man as you, Freddie, could tell guys a lot, I'm sure, that they're allowed to be doing this type of woo-woo stuff and being soft and vulnerable and still not feel emasculated.
So right. It's important to have the balance. That's a good point in terms of not being emasculated and being connected to, you know, our masculine self and also being connected to our feminine self. Because we, in the beginning, when we're zygotes in the womb, we're androgynous. And then for whatever reason, we're decided to be man or woman. And as you know, adults, we have aspects of testosterone and estrogen in our system in different amounts. And as we get older, the whole thing reverses itself. So what we're talking about, though, is how can we live a life that is balanced in the masculine and feminine, grounded in our gender, you know, however that appears to you as well. So, you know, for men, we are, you know, socialized to, you know, hold our cards close to our vest. Don't cry. Be hard. Be tough. Don't show your weakness. You know, we're in sports. We're competitive. We're denser in our muscle structure. And in terms of our mental thinking, we don't cognate like women who are really designed to listen internally, you know, designed to have a baby and so on. And there's a nurturing aspect, which, by the way, I do think at this point in our evolution, it's time for more of the feminine to rise, or else we will destroy the planet with a lot of the crazy masculine overbehavior. So it's really important for men to start to integrate this feminine listening, and it's not over feminizing. It's basically becoming more present to not being, you know, like in our sexual self, lost in our own lust. You know, it's like we start out, look, ma, no hands, you know, an erection, and we're run by the little head our whole life. So one of the primary edicts in Tantra is for the man to learn to separate ejaculation from orgasm. And yes, it will inform your lovemaking. And yet more than that, it will also inform your awareness of how this energy has us. And if we can start to become conscious in the sexual realm, that consciousness starts to show up everywhere. in our life. So when we bring consciousness to the sexual, creativity and pleasure, which is the basics of that sexual energy, start to show up as a default listening all over the place in our life. You know, like you said, sometimes people go, oh, well, that sounds a little woo-woo. Well, you know, it's really woo-woo. Our single-cell amoebas and the universe, it goes on for ad infinitum, and that's our lineage. So what we're really uncovering here in working consciously with sexual energy is something that's always been, which is an intelligence of creativity and pleasure. It doesn't seem sexual when I'm being creative about how I'm responding to my child who is crying and spilling stuff all over the place at a time when I'm really tired, but I can start to look past my own tiredness and be over there with he or she, the little one, or being in a creative space in creating a business or an invention. It doesn't seem sexual, but yet the same chemicals are happening. You know, where endorphins and serotonin, the oxytocin, the feel-good hormones are activated, and typically it supports life. So that's kind of what starts to show up in bringing consciousness to this sexual, for men particularly, and the world.
That is beautiful. And I just noticed that both of you use the word consciously a lot. So I'm thinking this is one of the most important messages that you can say, that bring consciousness to this kind of energy. And what you just said, Freddie, is like the sexual energy is not just for sex.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, forever we've been creating life with this. I mean, that's what the energy does. It creates life. We're drawn to it because it feels good, you know. And then the last 100 or so years, recreating with the development of contraceptives. And now what we're teaching, which is old and new, how to co-create consciously with this creative energy. How can we use it with all the other wonderful things we can use it for to be more aware of how we treat ourselves and each other? How do we live into our, you know, authentic possibility? How do we participate in the world? How do we move through upsets? How do we move towards what we really want and not just placate ourselves with some rationalized suffering thinking? You know, well, I hate my job, 30 more years of retirement, what am I going to do? Well, you could change your job, or you could think gratefulness about your job and feel better, you know. And that's what we start to become, if you will, again, conscious of in terms of how we're feeling and living and experiencing this time.
Yeah. Let me say a little bit something about that, becoming conscious. So we could also call it becoming aware. You know, wherever I'm not aware, I cannot take action. So that becomes very relevant in relationship, given that this is, you know, the context we are looking at, is how can we create our relationships instead just following a blueprint that we learned from our parents or from our culture, unexamined? How can we become more aware who we are, and then how we show up through our whole being, as Freddie said, in our sexual self? What's our relationship to the sexual self? How are we, what imprints are we bringing to that this present moment? And these imprints can either have us, or we can start to become aware of the imprints. So we can choose, do I want to follow the imprint or not? Some imprints are actually very good. You know, like my curiosity around sexuality, that has been a great imprint.
That has kind of triggered stuff too, right? So
exactly. On the other hand, there was also that part where that exploration and opening, of course, for a girl and a woman, it's always the sexual and the heart, you know, that there was then also a great deal of pain, you know, and that has been an imprint too. So for me to clear that so that I can come fully into my womanhood and then be able to share myself in that freedom with abandon, with my beloved, you know, Irina, that really has taken a lot of work and soul searching and becoming aware for me. And actually I'm still, you know, engaged in becoming more aware. But so because sometimes consciousness, what is this? If we call it becoming aware, that may be more accessible, that word. And in the awareness, then of course we can see things that were not available before.
Does that mean when you're saying you're creating this awareness or you're becoming aware, is there a daily practice that you can follow to help this along? Or what does somebody need to do to be actually more aware or become conscious?
Oh, this is great. What you're leading us right into, I want to share with you just a real simple meditative practice. If you let me do that for just a couple of minutes.
Love to. I'd love for our listeners to get this as well. Would they have to be somewhere safe or
no? They can just be seated where they are and listen to this now or and in later when they have a quiet moment if it's busy where they are. But the practice is a conscious breathing practice. So this is how it goes. Seated comfortably with on your sit bones, your eyes can be open, closed, or soft focus. Now we're going to bring our awareness to our breathing, and we're going to breathe parasympathetically. Sympathetically, we breathe all the time in the upper chest and lungs. Parasympathetic breathing is when we actually bring the breath down into the diaphragm and extend the belly like a big balloon. So if you place a hand on your belly, seated comfortably on your sit bones, eyes open, close your soft focus, and follow your breath with your consciousness into your nose, down your trachea, lungs, extending into your diaphragm and belly like a big balloon. So really extend the belly into your hand, really exaggerate the extension through the nose, and exhale back up and out through your nose in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. We're going to breathe like this for a few moments, just a little while. Continue breathing like this. I'll keep talking. Following your breath into your nose, trachea, lungs, extending down into your diaphragm and into your belly, into your hand like a big balloon on your inhalation. Following the breath back up and out through your nose in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Letting your thoughts come, letting your thoughts go. As the thoughts come, just don't give the thoughts a lot of attention or focus. Let them be, let them go. Bring your awareness back to following consciously your breath into your nose, trachea, into your lungs, extending down into your diaphragm and belly, into your hand like a big balloon on your inhalation. Following with your awareness, your breath back up and out through your nose. Just a couple of more times, stay with it. Watching the thoughts. Feeling the rise of your belly on your inhalation. Flattening of your belly on your exhalation. One more time. Nice belly breath. And beautiful. Slowly bringing your awareness back into the space.
And take a moment and notice how you're feeling right now, how your body is feeling.
That is beautiful. I just followed right along and I just feel calm and centered after this exercise.
And that was just a few moments. So when we continue to breathe and practice this conscious breathing, it becomes something we do throughout the day all the time. I suggest that you start the day with 10 breaths like that before you let your thoughts get busy and so on. But what it develops is what we call the witness, which is watching the thoughts, which gives us the thoughts, give us the total felt sense. You know, we get anxious about the trip tomorrow or whatever, or worried or angry or whatever. And that gives us a little space and a pause. That's one benefit of this type of breathing. The other benefit is we oxygenate better. We produce more endorphins, serotonin, oxytocin, the feel-good hormones. So breathing consciously really puts our body in a chemical state of ease.
And that's the space where stillness arises, and the still place is where intimacy arises. I cannot be intimate or express myself intimately with Freddie if I'm not connected intimately with myself. Like when I'm pissed off at Freddie, it's of course the time when I do not want to connect with him. So coming from a commitment in my relationship to Freddie to stay present, be open, and that our harmony and connection is most important. So I'm not committed to being self-righteous, even when I feel being wronged. I then have an access to myself through that conscious belly breath to recalibrate in the moment And because when I'm connected with myself and calm inside, I can speak with Freddie in a very different way, because I don't come from blame, from anger, from that I feel wronged. I can actually have an open conversation and find out what's going on for him, so that, and share with him what my concern is, but from a place of listening, of openness. And that wants to be practiced. So this is not something that comes automatically to us. We want to practice every day for our own sake, as well as for the relationship's sake, so that we can truly, you know, create fulfilling intimacy and love as a daily occurrence.
That is beautiful. I'm just thinking, you just spoke before about when you are not trusting, how can you attract somebody who is, and who, because it's the law of reflectivity, isn't it?
Exactly.
So you're saying yourself that it is a conscious choice, though, instead of wanting to be right, wanting to be mad, wanting to be angry and be righteous and have the other one grovel and apologize, to make a conscious choice of saying, let me center myself again, because it is to the mutual benefit of both of us if I can, from that space, address the issue.
Exactly.
Yeah, let me add too, is what happens in the belly breath. It's not to say that there's not something you are deeply affected by in this upset or disconnect. It's when we center ourselves, we can begin to look at what's there for me in my upset, not that she or he did anything to me. And from that place and that level of sharing, the other, if they're doing their work, can sit still and listen and get what's there for you. And then you can get on with the loving, get on with the being kind to each other, get on with the concern for each other's well-being. As opposed to where we get stuck in the ego and being right and making the other wrong and blaming the other for how I feel and all of that stuff, we can start to get to the essence of something. And not that, again, we don't feel, we feel deeply, we get triggered often in relationship. And so how can we look at our triggers as opportunities to see something, to get past, let go, move on, be better, and so on? You know, because I think really we want to keep loving each other and being kind and loving our life while we're here.
Well, that is what everybody wants, right? Everybody wants to be loved and be happy. Mm-hmm. What I think many people don't realize, it has to start within themselves. And just like you said, is what is in it for me if I have these feelings? Why do I have them? And how can I learn from them? And how can I get out of the funk and back into what I really would love to have?
Yeah, and it's oftentimes just being with it, not even, you know, analyzing the why so much. Although why is an important question, though oftentimes it takes us out of what we're feeling. And sometimes these things are so deep that we keep getting re-triggered. So in the meditative practice, what happens is we start to become, again, what we call the witness of this stuff. And it's, we start getting more and more distance from the effect of this old story, this old feeling, these old emotions, and so on. So when they show up, you know, in the future for us, they're just little blips in the horizon, and it's like our old friend, and we don't get so swept away by it, you know. So to be gentle with ourselves and not get angry every time we said, oh, I thought I had mastered that or handled that or whatever.
Is there an example from your own life where that gets re-triggered in the relationship? Like your relationship with your mom?
Right, or with us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, comes from an earlier time.
Yeah, so, you know, when I feel like I'm not listened to, or when I'm being hurried or not considered, or just sort of run over, then I get very in my masculine, you know, defensive stance. And so I'm still working to flatten more of that reactivity. But I know that comes from an old place. I know that's my stuff. And usually once I go through it, I can come back with what was there for me. And you know, Elspeth's a good partner. She'll listen, you know, she doesn't stay triggered by my trigger.
That's great. Cause that's not always the case, right?
Well, yeah. Cause not the real stuff doesn't happen. It's just spinning it and going and staying with it. Like the hat feels in McCoy's, is what kills it. You know, real stuff comes up, emotion. It's just being able to get over it quickly and then move to what's the share there. You know, what's to be seen.
So is that kind of breathing and other practices that you say, meditation and all, is that all part of what you teach or what belongs to the tantric intimacy?
That's the foundation. But the next piece is working consciously like that with the sexual energy.
But there are various levels. And what we are just touching into is the foundational work that consists of that coming to that still place, because otherwise I cannot even witness myself if I cannot be still within myself. So the conscious belly breath, which opens us up to the witness state of watching our thoughts, watching our emotions, watching the sensations in the body that are correlated to our thoughts and emotions, like I have a knot in my stomach, that is connected perhaps with some fear, some anxiety, or powerlessness. And that is related to a conversation I am living in, interpretations I may have about myself. And that is associated with emotion, you know, like powerlessness is an emotion, sense of powerlessness. And then to learn more about energy as it shows up in the body, as it shows up in emotions and thoughts, because they are all frequency. And then another level to explore into is that we look at what we bring from the past that affects the present moment in our relationship, where we don't have freedom because the past has us. And so we call it clearing the past in terms of what we bring around our emotional and intimate and sexual self. And you probably can imagine, Irina, that can, you know, touch people quite deeply, because in most, you know, that is usually the sexual is not addressed in most forms of transformation or therapy, which I totally understand why it may not, but that doesn't mean that it is not ever present. And so the beauty of clearing the past is that I can actually then be fully present in the moment in my sexual, emotional, spiritual self and share myself like that. So then the third level of learning is to learn more about feminine energy, which is very different from masculine energy. We could also call it yin and yang energy, because it's not just gender-based. There is yin energy in every human being as there is yang energy. We all have testosterone and estrogen within us. So we want to come into the balance of the feminine and masculine within, and then to learn more about how that shows up in relationship. It doesn't matter if it's a heterosexual relationship or a homosexual relationship or transgender or all the gradations in between. Just briefly, feminine energy can be described as flowing, as circular, as capricious. We never know when it's coming or going. It's creative. Masculine or yang energy can be described as linear, directional, intentional, focused, grounded. And of course, even those adjectives, you know, they trigger certain feelings that I can be in my masculine just as I can be in my feminine. So we want to expand that range of expression and then bring this into the relationship so that I can deepen my appreciation and understanding of Freddie and his energy. What we have noticed in working with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of couples and singles is that each of us sees actually the other through a filter, particularly in the sexual realm. And so to learn about the other in his sexuality, in his expression of his sexual energy, can open up new vistas for both. There's also something when a man has a woman being with him like that, where she is just there, present, and can support him in his flow of his sexual energy, where he can get himself more fully, you know, and that is where it goes then into where the man learns the separation of ejaculation from orgasm. One is a reflex. Ejaculation is a reflex in the pelvic floor, and orgasm is the energy. So when a man can forgo the reflex, he can learn to channel this wonderful orgasmic nectar without any need for ejaculation. And that is where he can come into power, into feeling himself more fully. And another dimension, which is that he can be and stay more present to his partner.
That is fascinating. Is this something men can learn to do?
Yeah, it's the foundational piece for men in the tantric practices that lead right to the consciousness. We are just automatic with our sexual selves, run, as I said earlier, by the little head. And when we bring consciousness to the sexual, and that's one of the things we teach in the workshops for men, and I have a men's workshop coming up at the end of this month, or the 1st of November. But the key there is for the men to start to bring consciousness to this automatic sexual, it appears as lust. You know, we really want to connect, you know, yet for it looks like a selfish love. So for men to learn to separate ejaculation from orgasm requires some muscle awareness, breath awareness, consciousness of energetic levels. And then that starts to uncouple how automatic this energy is, how we're swept away in love and swept away in jealousy and swept away in possessiveness and all of those things that are apart. So we're starting to now separate or get a little distance from that to use that energy as an enlivening essence. You know, the joy of it. It's like once you really start tapping into deep levels of sexual energy and moving it consciously with your breath, everything gets a little brighter and lighter and feels better, you know, just in terms of breathing, conversation, your creative expression, all of those things start to expand as we bring consciousness in this area.
And what opens up for the woman, the experience is that her man becomes truly present to her. This is like a state of bliss that is available where he has learned to move up his sexual energy into his heart center, and then he can connect from his heart center with her heart center. Because most women, when they want to connect, they feel it in the heart center first. And then most men, when they want to connect, they feel it in their sexual center first. So there's a circuit that is being created through which then the couple can deepen their love and intimacy.
I think that was one of the most profound statements right there, because this is what most women would say, that there is no real communication even when they're intimate. They're feeling alone because he is only focused on himself and his pleasure, while she might want to feel from the heart and become intimate in that way. I think this is absolutely incredible. So you're saying basically that these tantric practices that you teach can create lasting love and help create harmony in the relationship instead of just whatever haphazardly happens when two people meet and they connect like a spark flies or whatever. Coup de foudre in French.
Yes.
Over heels in love.
Right.
Exactly. And for the man, what happens is his heart starts to open. I mean, we have moments of that. Typically, though, for men, it's like on the battlefield after we've been killing each other. We break down and cry and hug each other. Or in athletics, we pat each other on the butt and hug each other after we've been competing in that way. But what starts to happen when men bring consciousness to the sexual and start bringing that energy up to the heart with some, again, focused awareness, the heart opens. And then that broadens the capacity for him to meet the woman at her heart. And then once that happens, then they're communicating. There's a deeper listening. There's a broader experience of emotional connection. So many things start to wake up.
Fantastic. Now, you just said, Freddie, that a men's workshop is coming up in November.
Yeah.
If our listeners would like to go into this and look further into this, or even, you know, as a couple, attend workshops, how can they connect with you?
Yes. So all of our workshops are accessible or, you know, open at our website, which is tantranova.com, TANTRANOVA.com, tantranova, like supernova, tantranova. And and so we have, you know, monthly workshops. Freddie has his workshop for men. It's called Men, Sex, and Power. In the beginning of November, I teach an all-women's workshop in the middle of November called Awaken to Your Feminine Essence. And we have co-ed workshops, couples workshops. The first level of the couples workshops is where the couple learns to cultivate intimacy, emotional intimacy through the body, through the being. There are body work partner practices, there are releasing practices, there are tantric practices in terms of meditation, healing practices. And then there's another level, an advanced workshop that is called the Spark Workshop, because it's really about igniting the spark within and then with our partner, where we teach the advanced sexual healing practices. There's one for the woman and there's one for the men. And that takes a couple, of course, to a whole other places, you know, and where we teach what Freddie just shared about the men, where he can learn how to separate ejaculation from orgasm, where the woman can experience being listened to and clearing whatever may be there that she may bring from the past that may not allow her to be fully in her intimate, you know, luscious, wonderful self. So yeah, Tantranova.
Super exciting. So people could get all their information by going to www.tantranova.com.
Exactly, exactly. And then also we would love to share a gift, a download that is called Creating Intimacy and Love, the emphasis on creating instead of just falling into it. And so it builds on what we started today with a breath practice. There are more practices on that download so that each of you who is listening today can take what you got today a little further into your own life.
That is fantastic. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. How can people access this gift, this download?
Yeah, actually the best way would be through the link that I'm going to send you, Irina, and then on the page where the radio show is, if you could just...
Absolutely.
There.
I would love to. So people will get a link to go online and download a gift that will explain again and give you the breathing practice that they should do every day, maybe more than once a day whenever they feel triggered by something, to become centered and calm and be able to connect.
There's more. It's a video download.
It's a video download. Okay, yeah. Fantastic.
Even we are teaching, it's like, you know, 40 minutes long. So it's quite a good next step from
that
our conversation.
Fantastic gift, I have to say. Very generous of you. Thank you so much from myself and from our listeners. I'm certain a lot of people will take you up on that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Just thank you so much for doing your work and inviting us in.
Well, thank you for being here with us. And thank you for doing your beautiful work. And your bio speaks for itself. So I'm really, really excited that you have been able to make it today and that we can bring this to our listeners. This is Dr. Irina Kay, your relationship mentor at the Divas That Care Network, with Dr. Elspeth Moit and her husband, Freddie Santol Weaver, the power couple from Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago. Thank you so much.